Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Continuing with the chapter on taqwa. An Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu qal qila ya Rasul Allah man akramun nas qala atqahum faqalu laysa an hadha nas'aluka qala fa Yusuf nabiyullah ibn nabiyillah ibn nabiyillah ibn khalilillah qalu laysa an hadha nas'aluka qala fa an ma'adin al-arab تسألوني خيارهم في الجاهلية خيارهم في الإسلام إذا فقهوا متفق عليه. حضرت أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه نريت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم was asked من أكرم الناس, that who is the noblest of all people. So رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم replied one answer that covers everything, and that actually ties up with this chapter that we're doing. Nabi عليه الصلاة والسلام, when he was asked that who is the noblest of people, he said, "Atqahum, those of them that have the most amount of taqwa, those that fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most, those that refrain the most from the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those are the people that are the most noble." So just to stop at this part, that we sometimes think that the person that has got the most amount of money, the most amount of education, the person that's got the most amount of outward respect, we think that person to be a noble person. But what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, that person that has got the most amount of taqwa. Therefore we don't know who in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is really a person that is noble. In the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the outward things doesn't matter. The person's skin color, the person's bank balance, the person's assets, the person's number of children he's got, all these things don't matter. The titles behind his name, these things don't matter. But the amount of taqwa that a person has got in his heart, in other words, to that what level this person protects himself from doing anything that will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this now will determine how noble a person is in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So such a broad spectrum answer Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave in one word, atqahum. He asked a question and he said, atqahum, the most amount of that person that has got the most amount of taqwa is the most noble person. فَقَالُوا لَيْسَ أَنْ هَذَا نَسْأَلُكَ. Then Sahaba told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is not what we meant. We were asking you something else. So they meant something else and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave an answer. Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam gave an answer based on the question that was presented. But they were intending to ask something else. But they put it like this to Rasulullah, مَنْ أَكْرَمُ النَّاسِ, who is the most noble of people. So they put it like this. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam, outward based on the question, that's what answer he gave. Now they're telling him that that's not what we meant when we asked you this question, who is the most noble of people. We intended something else. So one thing that we learn from this part of the hadith is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasn't alimul ghaib. He didn't have knowledge of the unseen. He didn't know what was in these people's heart. They were asking one question and he was giving another answer. He was giving an answer based on the outward aspect of the question. They were intending to ask something else. So therefore they had to tell Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's not what we're asking, we're actually asking something else. Sometimes people go overboard and they say Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is alimul ghaib, he knows everything in the unseen, he knows everything in the seen, unseen, everything he knows. So here we learn something, that Allah ta'ala, what knowledge he gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he knew, and what knowledge he held back from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that also is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala held back. In other words, it was things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't know, like this, what these people were intending in asking this question. So anyway, when they told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is not what we meant, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَيُوسُفُ نَبِيُّ اللَّهِ ابْنُ نَبِيِّ اللَّهِ ابْنِ خَلِيلِ اللَّهِ. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Yusuf alayhi salam, in other words, explaining the lineage now of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, that what a beautiful lineage, what a noble lineage Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam had. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was a son of a prophet of Allah ta'ala, who was a son of a prophet of Allah, and who was the son of Khalilullah, the bosom friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was the son of Yaqub alayhi salam. So his father was a Nabi. And Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam was the son of Ishaq alayhi salam. So his grandfather was a Nabi. And Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam was the son of Ibrahim alayhi salam, who was the bosom friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was the great lineage of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, the son of Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, son of Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam, who was the son of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam then mentioned. The Sahaba said, this is not what we meant. In other words, we intending to ask you something else. So now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam then asked him, are you then asking me about the different Arab tribes? Which is the most noble of the Arab tribes? So then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam gave this answer. Those who were the best of them in Jahiliyyah are the best of them in Islam, provided they have the knowledge of Islam. Then those tribes that were the most or the best of all the tribes in prehistoric, in Jahiliyyah, before Islam, they were the best. Now they are the best in Islam, provided they have the necessary knowledge of Islam. What it means, this part of the hadith explains to us, is that a person who has good qualities before accepting Islam, when he accepts Islam, he still retains those good qualities. Those tribes that had good qualities, noble qualities in them, after they accepted Islam, those noble qualities still remain with them. In fact, those noble qualities only excel. A good example is Khalid bin Walid, radiallahu anhu, that before Islam, he was a very noble, intelligent, and a skilled person. Noble, intelligent, he had a lot of skill. And when he accepted Islam, he became the best general in history. In other words, he had all those qualities. Islam just took it and took it to another level of excellence. So one thing we learn from this hadith, this part of the hadith, is that we don't know which non-Muslim has got those qualities. Therefore, whilst we are alive, we should even think that non-Muslim has the potential of being better than us. If Allah Ta'ala makes it such that he accepts Islam, and if he dies on Iman, that person is very likely that he is better than us. And if Allah Ta'ala makes it such that we don't, Allah Pak save us, we don't die on Islam, or we die as gunahgars, as sinners, that person also is even better than us. Therefore the awliyaullah would think that we are even worse than animals. Thinking about themselves, not about others, about themselves, they would say that we are worse than animals, and we are even worse than that non-Muslim, because the non-Muslim, Allah Ta'ala can give him hidayat, and he can excel, and there is a chance that I may even die on kufr, I may die as a non-Muslim. So therefore I can't even look down on that person as far as me being better than him. I can't even look down upon him. I don't know what my end result is. That's how a Muslim thinks. So from this hadith we learn that if a non-Muslim has got good qualities, if he accepts Islam, Islam will make it such that he'll retain those qualities, and those qualities will even excel. So therefore, don't look down at non-Muslims, number one. Number two is, don't at the same time, doesn't mean that we mustn't look down at the kufr, the sin, that evil that they got, that we have to look down upon. But the person in himself, he's got the potential of becoming the wali of the time, if just little bit effort is made. And like Maulana was mentioning last night, sometimes it's because of us, people are working around us, people are working in our own homes, but why is it said that they're not even accepting Islam? Because there's some weakness in us that we are not presenting Islam to them in the right way. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. As we know, today is Friday, we should increase salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, making the point of reciting Suratul Kahf, and encourage the family also to recite Suratul Kahf. Try and come early for the Jummah Salah, and take advantage of the time between Asr and Maghrib Salah for dua. سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.